Good morning, everybody. It's Larry Jacobs on this September 28th, 2020. It's a Monday. We get near the end of the month already. We're already into October. It's just unbelievable. Welcome to today's show, where I've got a very wonderful person on for you. Her name's Andrea Keith. She's been with us before. She's Vice President of School Programs for Let Grow at letgrow.org. And this is a program as kind of a social-emotional program, a social-emotional learning program that builds confidence in kids, all right, and tries to get away from that overprotection we do. And the point is, this has been working for a long time, and now we're getting it into schools, this Let Grow program. And the reason is because parents are starting to – it's actually like getting into school programs because parents over the past 6 months have begun to see – how their kids can handle situations, and we have to let them go and do things and build confidence in themselves, be a little rigorous with them, and that's what Let Grow does. They have a program for that. It's always fun to have Andrea here. I'll bring her on in just a second, so stay tuned. We're going to archive the show over at our equity website, which is ACE-ED.org. As many of you know, that's our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Our website, ace-ed.org. Over there, our magazine is there, which is Equity and Access. And this, the September-October issue is absolutely excellent. I hope you take a minute to go over there. We want you to join the consortium. Everything we do over there is free to educators. Okay, it's an industry-supported consortium. We're trying to get the industry and the education world to work together to create solutions regarding equity. So I hope you take a minute, go over there, join with us again. Everything's free. Enjoy the magazine, et cetera. And we have all the podcasts. You'll see the icon for Education Talk Radio podcast over there at ace-ed.org. We tweet over at EduTalk Radio. LinkedIn is Larry Jacobs, and Facebook is Larry Jacobs. That's me, by the way. And Education Talk Radio. You can friend us, follow us, link in with us, et cetera, et cetera. And without further ado, let me bring on my friend Andrea Keith. I think she's probably calling in from Vegas, where she lives. Are you there? Hi, Andrea.
Yes, I am.
And the Raiders, I'm happy to say, lost to the Patriots yesterday, so I'm thrilled about that.
Oh, my gosh. Please. It still hurts. But, yeah, we didn't play well, and we'll see. But, you know, Vegas is
unfortunately, you
team.
Played very well. The better team just happened to win. I won't get into that. I don't want to destroy your Monday. We'll just move on from there. Okay. Now, I like the way the Raiders are shaping up. It looks pretty cool. And watch them really have a great winning season, which is going to kill the folks in Oakland, like they don't have enough aggravation out there where they just moved from. But anyway, it's great to have you back here, Andrea. And by the way, I have not forgotten. I promised to call you about a week ago. I want to follow up with stuff, so I'll try to do that today or tomorrow. It's been a little nutty around here. Did I do a good job of telling people about the Let Grow? Did I do a good job?
You do.
Yeah,
you do. I mean, really, it's really all about for us as a nonprofit that we really want to kind of help kids build their confidence and their resilience and all these social-emotional skills that we didn't used to teach in school because kids got it naturally from the way childhood was, and childhood has changed so much. And
so that's
what we're about.
And you know, that's a very good point. Childhood has changed so much. And I mean, I hate to be nostalgic and sound like a get off my lawn type of guy, but you know, when I was a kid, we'd play outside, you know, all the time, and the parents were not out there, and we just organized and took our licks and all that kind of thing. And that's changed over the years, without question. And parents have become, I don't want to condemn parents because it's a hard enough job, but, you know, they become a little bit overprotective in this crazy world, and they begin to think their kids can't do it. I've heard stories of parents actually going out on job interviews with kids.
Oh. Yep.
And answering the questions that the job interviewer, I'm talking about an adult child here, is being asked, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A college graduate and parents go, and we can't have that anymore. That's no way to run an airline, as the old line used to say. So we got to do things a little different. So talk about the history of Let Grow. And by the way, I was on the website, letgrow.org, and I saw something, and that's why I wanted to ask about the history. This is not something new. All right, Let Grow has been around. Talk about where it grew out of, because there are Let Grow families across the United States, and now we're trying to move it into a school program, which I think is great. That's why we're doing this show. So just
right.
talk a little bit about the history. Yeah.
Yeah, so Let Grow kind of came from a number of different founders, but the biggest thing it grew out of was free-range parenting, which was Lenore Skenazy a number of years ago, a journalist who wrote a column about letting her 9-year-old ride the subway alone, which landed her on talk shows all over the place, and labeled the world's worst mom. She had this philosophy that we've got to stop hovering over our kids. Everything isn't dangerous. Let them play. Let them climb trees. Step back. And there has been a whole movement of free-range parenting. In fact, it was in a whole episode of Duncanville this last spring was about free-range kids. It was hilarious. But she ended up getting contacted by a few other folks, primarily John Haidt, who is a professor and a researcher and wrote The Coddling of the American Mind, really looking, and is also the founder of Heterodox Academy. So he and another researcher and psychologist, Peter Gray, who has been very instrumental in studying the role that play has, free play, really, in the development of children. They got together and said, wait a second, we need to do something about this, because they were seeing the adults, like you said, bring mom to a job interview or the kids in college who could not function. And, oh, by the way, we can't talk about this topic because it might trigger me and upset me and make me uncomfortable. And so they kind of looked at what Lenore was doing and realized that it all feeds up into that. We coddle our kids so much as they're young.
Yeah.
They don't develop the resilience. They don't develop the self-confidence and the ability to really think for themselves. So that's when Let Grow got started, is they got together and decided that we needed to do something about this seriously and make some changes. And school programs became part of that, because that's where the kids and the parents are.
Exactly right. And there, and I want to make this point again. On the website, it says join Let Grow. I hope people do that. It's letgrow.org. Find other nearby Let Grow families. The family side of it, I remember from our conversation before, I hope I remember correctly, the family side of this has been around for a little while, and growing. And now you, because you're an expert in education marketing, et cetera, you understand schools. You know how to, you're trying to get it into school programs. Am I right on that regard?
Yeah, basically. The school programs have only kind of been around for a couple of years and really a big focus in the last 8 months or so.
Has anything changed in schools in the last 8 months or so that might bring that about?
Well, I will tell you, it's been an unexpected challenge. When I started in December, I had plans, and then they all blew up. But I think it's been a good thing, actually, in a lot of ways for the organization and society in some ways. It's brought some things to light.
And what I would say is the pandemic, and it is a horror show, the pandemic has peeled away the layers of the onion, and it's bared the facts to us, And as we... as we see that, we have to make changes. And this is one of the changes. Kids have to be more resilient. Can you describe some of the programs we're talking about and for what ages?
So our primary program is called the Let Grow Project, and it's being used anywhere from early childhood education really up through middle school. It's primarily a kind of a take-home project or assignment that the school commits to doing usually multiple times across the year, sometimes every week, depending on their commitment to this. And it has the kids go home for their homework. They basically have to do something on their own they've never done before without parental help or supervision. And it sounds simple, but then...
In other words, that's the way I went through K-12, without parental help
you
and supervision.
You and most of us.
But
not the last couple generations.
No, you're right.
And so it kind of forces parents to look a little bit about, that makes me uncomfortable. comfortable to let you do that, but okay. And they try, and then that's successful, and the kids are feel good because they did something, and the parents are, wow, I had no idea my child was so capable, and that builds and hopefully gets
yeah.
them to where they need to be. So the younger you start with some of this, you know, the better. But we also see huge advantages in the middle school. And I've had some high school interest in it as well. We actually have a real fun adulting chart that we put together so that kids, you know things like do their own laundry, check the oil in their car, those types of things that a lot of kids are not getting even in high school.
And do it yourself. And by the way, you bring up a good point there with do your laundry. There are different things for different age kids. I mean, you don't send a five-year-old and say, honey, operate the chainsaw. That's not what you're talking about here. Honey, get the chainsaw from the garage and start it up and take down that big tree. That's not what we're talking about here.
No.
Okay, and I remember
kid who's really precocious with a chainsaw. I mean,
We don't want that. We don't want that. So basically, it can be as simple, and I'm being quite serious, as walk out to the mailbox
mm-hmm.
and get the mail, honey, without me walking with you. What would be
exactly.
a good middle school thing? I'm assuming a middle school kid can do that, but what would be a middle school one? What I just said was like
for
early years.
Well, I think some of the stories we've heard from some of the kids who really reported decreases in anxiety were things like, into a store on their own. There are kids who reported that, wow, before they kind of built this up, they were intimidated even going into, say, Target by themselves at 13 years old. And so these types of kids, because their parents are always with them, they've been, you know, drilled on stranger danger, they're anxious around adults. And so that's really important to get them to be kind of comfortable with those kinds of things. And the other thing, Larry, you and I both, I'm sure when we were in elementary school, I remember riding my bike with my friends down to the 7-Eleven to get Slurpees without a cell phone, by myself, without my parents.
Of course. Absolutely.
And that was kind of a rite of passage and something that we did. So now we have kids doing those types of things at 13 only because they're doing a Let Grow project because, oh, my goodness, parents wouldn't even dream of letting their kids have that kind of autonomy. But if they don't build that, then we end up with kids who don't get their licenses. I saw some statistics about kids not getting their licenses as soon as they're 16 years old, and a lot of it has to do with anxiety and that type of stuff.
That's something I hadn't actually thought about, but you're absolutely right. I have
mm-hmm.
nieces and nephews who were maybe, I don't know if reluctant is the word, but they certainly weren't excited and
mm-hmm.
didn't jump at the opportunity to get their driver's license. Yet
mm-hmm.
I remember when we were turning 16 back in Philadelphia, you through the years from 15 on up, you just couldn't wait
uh-huh.
to get your driver's license. And the minute you could get that learner's permit, you did. And that is a very interesting point. That tells your story quite well. We
exactly.
are really falling behind.
Why did
wow.
you do it, Larry? Why did we want it so badly? Because having that license meant autonomy and freedom.
Right.
And we were ready for that, and we wanted that.
But it also meant, for the
that.
Most part, we were taking on responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
And although yes. we couldn't say that because that wasn't really what was on our mind. Okay? In fact, without knowing it, we were saying to ourselves, I'm capable of driving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I can do that. I can go out in the big world and drive around. Okay? I can really do it. All
yep.
right, and wow, that's a really interesting anecdote and a way to really take a look at to really think that through and look at it. And you know, that said, I'm going to use the word off your website here. There's an emotional fragility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you're not given responsibility, if you're not taught how to handle responsibility, okay, I'm
mm-hmm.
reminded of all the great lines. I remember that show 30-something, and the woman was lamenting, saying, here I want to have babies, and I'm dating babies. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's the it's that kind of mentality. This is really, really, really important. Where are you working right now? How's Let Grow doing in schools? Give us some anecdotes from what you're hearing from teachers, et cetera.
You know, right now we're seeing some uptick in some of the interest in adding the Let Grow project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reentry for schools has been tricky.
Brutal. Brutal.
And will continue probably to be tricky. And because I think so many schools are working very hard at understanding that a lot of kids have gone through trauma, that it's been difficult. But on the other hand, we have kids on the other end of the spectrum who maybe haven't been that affected by the pandemic. And, you know, there's lots of reasons for that. I think because they're looking at trying to really focus on social emotional learning and the well-being of the whole child, I think we're starting to see some more interest in bringing in something like the Let Grow Project, which is no pressure for parents, it's no pressure for teachers, it's really no pressure for anybody. And yet it really helps the climate and the culture, because it's bringing the kids into feeling good about things they're doing, and parents recognizing that maybe some of the things that they've been forced to let their kids do because they didn't have child care or things like that, actually is really important learning for becoming an adult.
Yeah, it is. And in this day and age when there's so much home learning going on,
mm-hmm.
okay, this is something that's really important. Kids can handle this stuff. Okay,
yes, they can.
And we've talked, you know, parents can see that kids can handle this stuff. But mm-hmm. if you organize this, okay, in such a way that comes from the school. And I want to say something. You know, we're talking about overprotective parents and all that. Nobody's trying to say you're a lousy to the world. You're a lousy parent. Do it our way. That's not the point.
Oh no, okay? Not at all.
Yeah, exactly. The point,
society's pushing it just as hard.
Yeah, the point is we've got to give kids certain responsibility, et cetera. And this is really, I think rather than saying this isn't the time, and I know schools are up against the wall, this is actually a very good time to look at this, because
mm-hmm.
this is something that fits in well with fits in well anytime, but it fits in well now.
Right.
Okay? Because the parents are right now over-involved. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The schools are looking for ways to incorporate the parents, the in-home plus the learning, et cetera. Okay? And make kids feel comfortable and responsible. Okay, in these crazy times.
Exactly.
All right? And that's why I think this is just so darn important. Resilience, resourcefulness, we're talking about all this kind of stuff. You said you had a couple of studies. Oh, here it is. You wrote me this. In a recent survey during the pandemic, Andrea found that the parents gained a new appreciation for kids' skills because they had the opportunity to observe the kids. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Where'd you see that? Where'd it come from?
Well,
that,
you know,
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, we did a study of 800 parents and students across the country, and we were really looking at how they were dealing with the pandemic. This was before school was completed for the summer, and the thing that we recognized is that because kids were home so much more from school and all of the after-school activities that they normally are involved in as well.
Yeah.
The parents
right.
A lot of parents
right.
were spending a lot more time with their kids. And even if
right.
the parents were, you know, on a Zoom meeting working from home,
right.
or they had to be on the, you know, first responders or on the front lines, they recognized that their kids were stepping up and doing things like taking care of feeding their brothers and sisters and figuring out how to keep the baby quiet while mom has a meeting or those types of things.
Right.
And
yeah.
it's amazing, because the thing that bothers me the most really about that particular statistic, Larry, is that, ooh, does that mean that the kids have got more capable, or that the parents just haven't had the time to notice, you know?
Yeah.
I hope it's a little bit of both, but I think as parents recognize that their children are capable of doing probably much more than they have allowed them to in the past.
It all has to do with rigor. It all has to do with rigor. That's the
Absolutely.
Word.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
If present the kids with rigorous challenge, both socially,
yep.
both socially, emotionally, and academically,
mm-hmm.
you will see that you will watch them rise to the occasion. Okay,
yeah.
it's that simple, which brings up an interesting point. talk about, I think you have the answer to this. When kids feel more confident, when they know they can do things, there's an academic success rate that's better, which obviously makes sense. I don't think you're going to have to do much convincing about that.
No.
just talk about that. But it's true.
Yeah.
Kids who are wishy-washy and goofy, they need confidence.
They need confidence, and they need real confidence, because I think what we see happening is confidence is something that you gain by doing things well, by screwing it up and then figuring it out. That has to come from actual experiences, and if kids aren't getting experiences where they get to be self-directed and build that confidence, then they're not truly confident. They think they are. They may have a false sense because everybody's telling them they're wonderful, but they may not really be as truly confident as they can be. And we see that so much when we talk about middle school in the levels of anxiety, and especially girls' problems with perfectionism. That all comes from not really being self-confident. And I think it means that the other thing they have to do is they have to have autonomy in order to grow that. But you can't have autonomy without the recognition,
right,
of some of those things as accomplishment, because if you have autonomy and nobody realizes that the kids are or recognizing the accomplishments of kids that maybe are babysitting their siblings, maybe are in a low-income household where they are stepping up because that family and or that culture values that, whereas there's a whole group of privileged kids out there who,
yeah,
they don't have to do anything, and
yeah,
then
always the
so
case.
They don't.
It's always the case, and actually that brings up an interesting point. With Let Grow, and I don't know how far into the school world you're in, but it seems with this, do you have any statistics or anything, or just anecdotal stories that how does it work in what I'll call an under-resourced school versus,
mm-hmm,
a well-resourced school? Have you seen or heard anything regarding that?
Actually, what's really fascinating is we have a very good representation of different types of demographics for the schools that are doing this. And I can tell you that some of the biggest stories that we have in Patchogue Medford or Riverhead Central, both of them in New York, are very, very diverse. And we've seen not just the kids stepping up, but we've seen parent engagement. There's one of the schools they did a video in where there were a couple of Hispanic parents. And Hispanic parents, it's a generalization, but in general, they are very respectful of educators.
Oh, that might sound like a stereotype, but that is pretty much accurate.
There's a cultural thing, yes.
God bless their hearts.
It's a cultural,
yes,
thing that they hold,
yep,
teachers basically as an authority figure.
Yeah.
And in some ways that makes it hard for them to become as involved with schooling or their child's education as some teachers would like them to. There were a couple of Hispanic men that actually were so excited about the Let Grow project and what their kids were doing. It was, I think these were third or fourth graders. They came to the school. They went to the little ceremony. They did kind of a celebration of their Let Grow projects, and started feeling more a part of the community. So I think there's a recognition that this works at any level. And to be honest, it's almost easier to get some more diverse, lower-income public schools to do the Let Grow project than it is for some of the independent, wealthy schools, because those parents think they're doing great, which they probably are. I mean, they all have the best of intentions.
You're right.
They just don't realize that
everybody has everybody has the best of intentions with their kids. I like to believe that. Okay,
yes.
But the fact of the matter is, okay, if you're in a minority, which, by the way, are more so becoming well into the majority, but they're still called minorities, and unfortunately still underrepresented groups, even though they're becoming growing very fast, okay, and becoming a much greater part of our population, they're still, quote, underrepresented. And because of that, okay, and I don't care what anybody says, you see that, you read that. If you're an African-American kid, okay, and you look at who runs the government, et cetera, you see who's on the police force, who your teachers are, how important it is, people of color. You don't have the confidence, okay? Mm-hmm. You don't have the role models, et cetera. You need to build confidence, okay, in
Absolutely.
These kids, okay? Mm-hmm. And you need to do it. And teachers and principals might say, well, I do believe I'm trying to do that. But you need a program to do it. You need people like you were discussing a few minutes ago who know what they're talking about, people who got Let Grow started, okay, to make it work, okay?
Well, and I think –
yeah.
I really think that a lot of what happens is that we tend to look at school success and achievement. We're measuring specific things. We're looking at test scores. We're looking at – you know, can they read, can they do the math, and those types of things. We're holding all children to some norm-based expectations. And there definitely does need to be some of that in school. I think what happens for a lot of kids, though, is they don't necessarily fall into that, or because of their upbringing and some disadvantages they've had, they're behind academically. So what school frequently does, again, no intention, but makes them less confident, it
That's right.
tells the parents that your kid's less somehow because they didn't get an A or they're struggling with math or whatever. But it's just as important that those kids be recognized for the strengths that they do have, and parents help see that there are other measures of success. We talk about it in school all the time, but when it really comes down to it, society and parents are frequently, they're going by the score or the grade. And so how do we help them recognize all of the other skills and talents that these kids have?
You got that right, and I hope this fits in, okay, with what I'm saying. But what you just described to me is the challenge of standardized tests, okay? Because the standard that we expect people to look at sometimes can differ culturally, et cetera, et cetera. It's not there are different standards for different people. But I'll tell you one thing, okay? If a kid is reading at a third grade level and they're in seventh grade, okay. Okay,
right.
There's a reason for that. And I contend it does not mean that the children are stupid. Okay?
Not at all.
Somewhere along the line, we let them go. Okay? And we've got to make sure that parents and kids get confident, understand what rigor is, and build themselves capable, good people. Andrea, you're on the verge of something big here. This Let Grow thing is really good. I really mean it. And it has a lot to do with what we care about is equity and all that sort of stuff. Okay,
yeah,
you know, you're
I
part
agree.
Of our consortium. Okay, you were in the magazine this month, et cetera, et cetera. And I got to tell you, it's just so important what you're doing, especially these days. So keep it up. Go knock on doors in Las Vegas at all the schools. Okay? That's a
with
big
my mask
miss.
On.
Yeah, with your mask on, absolutely, okay? Without question, okay?
Will
They're
do.
Trying their best out there. Thanks a million, my friend. Thanks
yep,
a million.
You're welcome, Larry.
Great. Okay, I loved it. All right,
thanks.
I'll talk to you soon. I promise. Okay?
Awesome. Bye.
Okay. Thanks, Andrea. Bye. Andrea Keith, everybody, letsgrow.org. I think I said what I needed to say. This is good stuff, and we waited too long. We kicked the can. We let the can fall off the road after years and years of building confidence in kids. Let's do it again. And we have a program now to do it again, letgrow.org. Okay, we're going to archive this show. Please tell everybody. Please join our consortium over at ace-ed.org under Education Talk Radio Podcast, which is an icon right on the homepage of the consortium. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.